Let's now call upon our God in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, as you have set your glory above the heavens. You are eternally praised, who from all eternity have known us that we might know you. We ask that you might help us to glorify you and to give the praises that are due to you, that you would receive us in the name of Christ, that we might be his disciples and hear his word, that we might celebrate the mighty acts of your salvation, and that we also, Lord, would know that you are in control of all of history, as you have been from the dawn of history, and that we, Lord, would rejoice in knowing that our hope is in you and in you alone. Bless us then as we turn to your word. Give us understanding and help us to concentrate. Also, Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon your servant, that you would give him strength as well to proclaim your word in truth. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please take your Bibles this morning once again and turn to Genesis 11 as we continue in our series through the book of Genesis. We'll be looking now at chapter 11 and reading verses 1 to 9. You'll find that on page 11 of your pew Bible. Genesis 11, we'll read from verses 1 to 9. Hear now God's holy word. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. Once again, our text is from Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. I encourage you to have that open before you this morning as we'll be working through that section. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's been almost 15 years since the two towers became the center of attention across the globe when the World Trade Center came down on September 11. Those tall buildings not only represented the American economy, but also the wealth and power of many countries, as a lot of other nations had their offices within these buildings. As Christians, we believe that the Lord is sovereign through each event that takes place in the world, and thus we look back on this event and see that God has brought down the symbols to teach us to acknowledge Him and to stop setting our hearts on the world and the passing treasures of the world. When mankind seeks success and blessing without the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has a way of reminding us of our dependence upon Him. Well, this passage that we have before us is even more relevant than newspaper headlines. It's timeless in its application. It exposes man's sin in the way that he glories in his own achievements and defiance against God's commands. The picture of Scripture is timeless and characteristic of the way that man still is today. The Tower of Babel shows us how man sought glory for himself and how God created confusion. And thus the theme of this text is this: the confused and divided world can only be united in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we look at this passage this morning under that theme, there are three specific points that we would like to make. First, we see man's rebellion against God's creation ordinance in verses 1 to 4, and why it was necessary for God to bring a curse on man. Second, we see God's response as He restrained man's sin in verses 5 to 7. And third, we see the outcome of this confusion and how it fit into His plan of redemption in Christ. And so hear God's word under that theme and with those three points. Let's first of all consider the necessity of the confusion in verses 1 to 4. There's some important background information that the text gives us. In verse 1, we're first told something that we have a hard time identifying with, especially in places like Vancouver, Toronto, and even Winnipeg, to some varying degree, which are very multicultural. The entire population of the world had one language and one speech. Imagine how easy that must have been, children. You wouldn't have had to learn French or Spanish or Punjabi or Chinese or any other language. Everyone could understand each other. Verse 2 also gives us some more important details. Genesis chapter 10, the chapter on the table of nations, which we didn't look at in detail, but that's what it speaks about. It chronologically follows the story of the Tower of Babel, since each nation was scattered according to its language. Here we're told that the inhabitants of the world, not just some of the descendants of Noah, but all the descendants of Noah, migrated together. The word "they" in verses 2 and 3 refer to all of mankind. And I point that out because some think that Nimrod, the mighty warrior who set up his kingdom in Shinar and in other places, was the leader of this entire group. And yet what we see is that if Nimrod was the leader, the point is all conspired together, all worked together. It was a united effort. The human race was united together in rebellion. And it says that they moved eastward and settled in Shinar. Eastward must mean east of Mount Ararat. And also Shinar, as you may know, is the area later known as Babylon. It was here that they began their plans to make a center point for mankind, to have one great tower for man. This would be a place without God, and one based on man's wisdom and power, as the Tower of Babel would stand for man. But the Lord confused their language and scattered them. Why did He do this? Why was confusion necessary? Well, first, confusion was necessary because of man's pride. Notice what verse 4 says. Let us make a name for ourselves. The purpose of this tower was self-glorification, and that was sinful. John Calvin is certainly right when he says to erect a citadel was not in itself so great a crime, but to raise an eternal monument in themselves or to themselves, which might endure throughout all ages, was a proof of headstrong pride joined with a contempt of God. And that's so often the way the human heart operates. We read the newspaper or watch the evening news, we see that society neglects the things of heaven and seeks eternal life on earth. Whether that be a love for money and the products of this world, the human heart has not changed since the Tower of Babel. Every one of us naturally seeks recognition. We like that. We like attention. We like to be remembered. And if we were there in Babel, we naturally would take part in establishing a name for ourselves, just like everybody else. And yet nothing is more foolish and arrogant when mankind wants to make a name for himself, to desire a name which endures on earth and wants to be remembered and recognized here on the earth. Jesus said, "Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be," what? "Shall be exalted." And that's what God did in bringing confusion. He humbled the proud and made it clear that he loves the humble. He has made a name for himself, and that's clear from the story of redemption. When the Father sent his Son, he named him Jesus, meaning the Lord saves. When the Father glorified the work of his Son, he gave him the name which is above every name. The Lord has made himself a name that he calls us, his creatures, to uphold. That's why Isaiah 57, verse 15 tells us, "For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." James 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So by confusing the languages and scattering the people, the Lord shows us how he will rebuke man's pride and stop any ambition that is against his glory. And he also protects us from ourselves. As we're prideful by nature, congregation, we're totally unable to change this about ourselves on our own. Apart from God's initiative and God's grace, we don't naturally seek him. We're bitter and opposed to the Lord and to Jesus Christ. And so how thankful we can be for the Holy Spirit who has been given to us and who brings humility. So let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time. But the other reason for this confusion, the reason why it was necessary, is because of man's rebellion. As we see there in verse 4 as well, it says, "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." See, God had given an ordinance. We call that the creation ordinance. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill" what? "Fill the earth." He repeated this command to Noah, as we saw back in chapter 9. It meant that the nations were to spread out geographically so that they could bring God's dominion and rule over the earth. But the plan here was contrary to God's mandate and command. In the place of the command to spread, man remained in one place. In the place of the command to have dominion, man-made rules took its place. We can illustrate that when we think about the church. The same principle applies really to the church today. When churches become focused on themselves, when they concentrate only on their own needs and become too preoccupied with themselves, that's when they become unhealthy. A healthy church is passionate about evangelism and the work of missions. It's concerned about fulfilling another mandate that Christ gave, which is similar to the one that God gave to Adam. And that great commission, children, is, as you know in your Bibles, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation. That commission isn't obeyed, well, the Lord doesn't bless the church. And we can think of many examples of dying churches today where the Great Commission is not obeyed. And that's why confusion was necessary, because of man's rebellion to the creation mandate. Isn't it noteworthy how Babel illustrates to us why people are self-focused today? Instead of bringing God's dominion into the world, society starts to develop its own ideas of how to control the population through euthanasia and abortion and assisted suicide. And we come up with ideas like stem cell research and cloning. That's the wicked heart of man. It's not at all wanting to submit to the Lord. Derek Kidner, a conservative expositor of the Old Testament, said, "The elements of the story are timelessly characteristic of the spirit of the world." He's right. Humanity is no different today in his rebellion. And so we see why God had to bring confusion. It was because of man's pride and rebellion. Brings us to our second point, and that is the author of confusion, which we see in verses 5 to 7. We see in verses 5 to 9 God's full response to man's plan, but here in verses 5 to 7 we see God's sovereignty and power in how he dealt with man. Those building the tower purposely left God out of the picture. They didn't inquire of him or ask for his blessing on their plans. And yet that didn't mean that God was ignorant and couldn't see what was happening. Quite the contrary. Those who forgot God were soon to find out that he didn't forget them and saw everything that was happening. There's actually a bit of humor that is found here in the Hebrew language. A bit of play on words. Do you see that there this morning? It's the Bible's way of saying that God had to come down to man, as it says there. The Lord still had to descend and see what was happening, even though they thought they were building up this tower as high as the heavens. Clearly, the tower that was to reach the heavens fell far short. And notice as well in verse 7 that we have a reference to the Trinity, where God says, "Come, let us go down and confuse their language." Again, a figure of speech. It's for our benefit. We know that God doesn't move from place to place. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But the text is written this way to clearly illustrate God's judgment on these people. It helps us to better understand his greatness. It's written this way to mock man's foolishness. Really, the narrative here is filled with condescension. Perhaps we have seen really tall buildings. We have some of that here in our own city. But the skyline here is not like some of the other larger cities in North America, like Chicago or even Toronto. Children, if you ever stand under the CN Tower, for instance, in Toronto, downtown Toronto, you feel pretty small next to it. To build a tower like this is great in our own eyes. And yet when you see a satellite image of a larger city like Chicago or Toronto, Los Angeles, New York City, they're very tiny in comparison to the rest of the world. They're basically insignificant. If you look at the world from Google Earth, get the satellite imagery, cities are barely visible. Even technology is like this. Technology enables human beings to subdue the earth in part sets them above animals. It's God's gift to us. But people pervert it. Technology, which is used for the sake of making a name for the human race, will not be a blessing today. It's only God who can give blessing. And he gives it to those who magnify his name and not their own achievements. God sees man on the earth, but all the nations are before him as nothing. All of man's plans are nothing. Those involved in the building project of Babel thought that they were something, that they were great. And yet this project was insignificant in God's eyes. It's so small that he cannot see it. He has to go down and look at it. Of course, we know that God sees all things. Nothing ever escapes him. But this passage vividly portrays the greatness of God and the insignificance of people and the irrelevance of their plans. For the Lord, it simply takes a word to completely change and stop man's plans. He doesn't have to think hard to come up with a way to stop them, as he is sovereign and the author of confusion. Psalm 33 says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing." Proverbs 21 verse 30 says, "There is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord." Isaiah 40 verses 21 and 22 say, "Have you not known? Have you not seen? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the world? It is he who sits on the circle of the earth, and all its inhabitants are grasshoppers." Verse 6 shows us that God could see that man had one language and was wicked and capable of all wickedness. Notice especially those words, "Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." And yet he was the one who brought the confusion. And how comforting it is to know that we have a God who's like that. He is able to confuse the plans of the wicked at any time that he desires. We don't have to be afraid what happens, congregation. Since the Lord is in complete control, that shows us the greatness of God, especially in the day that we live in. God knows. He sees all. It just takes one word to change it all. Let's consider thirdly the outcome of the confusion which we see in verses 8 and 9. And what we see here is that the very thing that the human race feared came to pass. The people in Babel wanted a city and tower that they, lest they were scattered, but God confused them so that they were scattered. Verse 8 shows that they stopped building the city. Verse 9 says that the events that took place caused them to make a name of the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad above the face of the earth. In other words, the name Babel, which means confusion, left a permanent mark on a place where God disrupted the rebellious plans of man. Now, to be clear about this, God did not confuse and divide mankind because he was afraid of man. He had not found a rival on earth. No, the Lord scattered the human race because it was part of his divine plan for the people of Israel and for the future of his own people, that is, for the future of the church. Negatively, we see this as a curse, meaning that he put man in his place. But positively, we can see that this curse was a blessing. The fact that man was scattered over the earth was a blessing, since it held back and hindered man's sin, and it allowed God's kingdom to grow in order for his church to grow. And what a lesson that is for us today. If we're trying to find meaning in this life apart from God, if we're seeking true joy and happiness by seeking satisfaction outside of God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, we're on the road to destruction. Young people, if you're not true worshipers of the one true God, and you follow the grand schemes of the world, you won't find happiness and satisfaction. We won't get it apart from the Lord. Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9 is a picture of what always happens when men abandon God. God is not mocked or scorned. He sits in the heaven and he will laugh at men. When man attempts to make his way in life without acknowledging Jesus Christ, he's going to come to a dreadful end. And that's why if there is anyone here today who has not yet believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you ought not to delay. Today is still the day of salvation. It's not too late to come to peaceful terms with the Almighty through Jesus Christ. And that's why we cannot end our look at Babel without looking at Pentecost. You remember what happened at Pentecost? There was that language barrier. People were scattered about. There was confusion. Not everybody spoke the same language. But we read in Acts chapter 2 these very wonderful words. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in what? In other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. The Spirit of God reversed what took place by putting an end to the confusion. Since Jesus Christ is now ruling, he will continue to do so until his enemies are brought under his feet. Until he comes again, the Spirit of God will continue to build his church. And that's a great opportunity for us today. It's a challenge for us today. Internationalism is certainly something that we see here in the Winnipeg area. Cultures and languages abound. We see how God in his providence has brought this about as he's put the nations at our doorstep. And yet those whom God has called cannot be brought to him apart from Jesus Christ. He's able to gather the scattered nations to himself. And we can thank the Lord for that. Galatians 3, for example, says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we all are one in Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 these words, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. It's only in him that we can find purpose for our lives. Congregation, to sum it up, we could see that this curse was really a blessing in disguise. Why do we say that? It's because it fit God's purpose and plan for the church. And what a blessing it is that the scattered, sinful, desperate world can find peace and hope in Jesus Christ. So let us therefore glorify Him and not glorify ourselves, for He is worthy of all praise. Amen.